a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Thank you for listening. And I hope that if you woke up this morning feeling that way, I know a lot of us cite that verse as the first thing that we say in the morning. It's a good way to start your day. I hope you've maintained that joy of the Lord throughout the day and into this evening and the closing of the day. I am Kim Cotola. I'm glad to have you with us. And yes, it's been a good day for me. And I think I say this because I've stayed close to the Lord, and He has been continually bringing His Word to mind today. I've been working on a musical project and singing a lot. It means I've been singing God's Word. And I don't know, something about singing God's Word just embeds it more in our heart and spirit, doesn't it? And my good friend Candy, and she's also an intercessor for me, sent me some words tonight about God being our strength and our song. And I hope you can say the same, that God is your strength and your song. In worship today at church earlier this morning, I came across something that I wanted to share with you to start things off tonight, because it was the reading from Isaiah 58 about true fasting and the kind of fasting that God honors. And He talks at length, the Lord does, through the prophet Isaiah, about fasting that people do wrongly, from wrong motives, fasting, seeking your own pleasure. While you oppress all your workers, it says, oh, behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day, God says, will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And he goes on to say, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. This is about being a person who is charitable, not as an act of pity or compassion, but as a matter of justice, of knowing that everything that has been put into our hands, God placed there, and therefore to whom much is given, much is expected, God's saying here too. And so he says also, to share, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? Whoa, that's going a little too far, God, I thought to myself as I read that. This is Isaiah 58, verse 7 in the ESV. When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. And it says here, this is what amazed me. Okay, God is dealing with us in this section of Scripture. But at verse 8, he says, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And the translation that they were using this morning, maybe in the NIV, it talked about your gloom being lifted. And I know after the abortion choice, I had a lot of gloom. I had a lot of depression, a lot of unidentified sadness, that free-floating anger that goes along with addictive behavior, although I didn't slip into addictions. But I had that free-floating anger that would just spring up for no reason. And what God is saying here is, get your mind off yourself. Repent, he's already told us in Isaiah 57, repent. But once you've repented, get your mind off yourself and look around to someone who's in worse shape than you are and do something for them as the remedy to your gloom. Now, if you're listening to this tonight and you say, I'm too broken, I'm too debilitated, I want you to know that I have an encouraging person as a guest tonight. I have someone who has poured himself out for the sake of others. And it may not be the specific ministry that you are called to, but I think that when you hear his story, you will understand that to serve God and to pour yourself out as Jesus did, as a drink offering, as Paul said he did, is to regain the light and to see your gloom disappear. How far do you go to share your faith on an average day? Well, John Barros, our guest tonight, has probably got you beat. And he is somebody who has been witnessing outside an abortion facility steadfastly for a number of years. And we're going to hear from John and his story and what inspired him tonight. John, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Hello, John, are you there?
Yeah, did you hear me?
I did not. I said, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for having me on here. You have a wonderful ministry here, by the way. I didn't know anything like this existed.
Well, thank you. We've been at it for a year and a half in this format, and I've been reaching out with hope and encouragement for those hurt by abortion for more than 10 years now. And it's a beautiful ministry to see and listen to hope dawning in people's hearts. And John, you're working in this same ministry, in this same mournful vineyard, but trying to prevent people making this choice. Tell us about what you do at the Orlando Women's Center.
Okay, I go to the Orlando Women's Center Monday through Friday. I'm there from 8 to 4. Usually, sometimes later, girls come. It's a horrendous place. They are famous for doing late term abortions, and they'll do them actually all the way to 9 months. But they will have to fly you to Washington D.C. or Maryland to do those. But they will do them all the way to 9 months. And so I go down there and just try to talk to the ladies, tell them there's hope, there's help. And then as the day goes on, since you know that, you know, it's going to be just a matter of minutes once the abortionist gets there, I tell them, you know, what God thinks of this and how he hates it and that there's consequences and those type of things. And it's difficult. It is. But God is so faithful in that if we honor him by using his word, that that's our true weapon. That's our true power. I've never talked to anybody out of an abortion, but God has turned the hearts of hundreds and hundreds of women in the time I've been there. I've been there for 10 years, and for the last 3.5, I've been there pretty much every day. They used to even be open on Sundays, and so it was. Then I was down there 6 days a week, but he's faithful, and it's there's nothing like it on earth.
John Barros, our guest. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're going to continue in just a moment. Stay with us through the break. We'll talk about some of the stories that of people that John has met and ministered to, some that would listen, some that would not, some very surprising, and some that will just totally warm your heart. Stay with us. John Barros is our guest. I'm Kim Catola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Catola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Why in the world would someone stand outside an abortion facility? These people have already made up their minds, haven't they? John Barros is a person who is determined to have one last conversation with people, and every once in a while, someone listens.
I was having this spiritual battle, like, take it out, don't take it out, take it out. Now I'm not having that battle no more. And ever since he did that, he can tell you I've changed. I'm
absolutely
glowing,
different,
I'm happy.
Girl.
I'm just a different person. I'm not miserable anymore. I'm not angry. I'm not crying all the time. Just a different person completely. I was going through it. I don't know if it was just a battle within me, but it was also a spiritual battle. Like, the devil kept telling me, the enemy kept telling me to do it, God telling me not to do it. They were fighting over me. And John helped me lean towards it. Don't do it. Thank you.
Love you, kid.
That's a clip from the film Who Will Stand. We've got it posted on cradlemyheart.org this week. If you hadn't had a chance to look at it, please do. It's short, maybe 8-9 minutes long, but it's just packed with hope and encouragement. John, tell us the story of this young lady who pinpointed that abortion for her was a spiritual battle, and you somehow helped her work her way through that. Tell us the story.
Well, that young lady's name is Jasmine, and she's just the sweetest thing. And Jasmine had been on the streets in New York since she was 13 years old, and she was living all that that life would, you could imagine about. And one day she ended up coming down to the clinic, and I asked her if I could talk to her, and she was an addict, and but she was on methadone, though, and she was homeless. She had one child with her and four that were, have been parceled out to people. If anybody did not have any hope whatsoever and had a need for, in their mind to have an abortion, it would have been her. She chose life one day. We went through the word and, of course, told her what God thinks of this, and, but then told her about the hope there is in Jesus Christ, and she chose life. But then a couple days later, she came back, tried to sneak in, she says, and saw me, and came back over to me, and then she for sure chose life. And she's been now, this has been, I don't know how long, but our church brings these people in. I have the pleasure of bringing from the streets down there about 14 different people to church on Sunday mornings now from the ministry down there. Not all of them are girls that were having abortion, going to have an abortion, but there's addicts and other people. But our church has loved her. She's got her own place now. She's got her kids. She's got, she's completely off methadone. And she, I believe, just started a job last week. And, I mean, her whole life has been completely transformed. She's a member of our church now, and she's been baptized. And, the road's not all that easy still. I mean, it's hard enough being just a mother of five and having the past and the things that she's gone through to battle, you know.
You know, John, as I listen to this story of Jasmine, John Barros is our guest, by the way, and I haven't properly given you credit. John is a member of the Presbyterian Evangelistic Fellowship, serving as a street evangelist and volunteer chaplain at Orlando's 33rd Street Jail. His main emphasis, though, is his call to evangelism at the Orlando Women's Center. And he also works inside the 33rd Street Jail in a ministry of presence as a volunteer chaplain with Good News Jail and Prison Ministries. And, John, as I listened to your story about Jasmine, it came right back on me about how I was saying, oh, God, you go too far when you tell us to bring the homeless poor into our house in Isaiah 58:7. But your church took that to heart. What if even just our churches brought the homeless poor into our houses of worship? Tell me about whether or not you had to overcome fear to do the street evangelism that you're doing, and even also for you as a church body, you as a member of a church body that is so open-hearted to people that we're afraid of. We're afraid of addicts. We're afraid of, homeless people who haven't gotten their life together, and are they criminals? There's a reason they're homeless, all the judging that goes on. Did you have to overcome fear to step out and answer this call God's placed on your life?
No. I mean, the first time I went down there, I guess 10 years ago, I was horrified, and I saw people speaking to people, and I was scared because I thought, boy, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, or whatever. But then I went through a whole bunch of health issues, and God just literally wiped me out of everything I had. And one day, I had two brain aneurysms. I had to have two brain surgeries. I've had four cancer surgeries. They had actually told me to get my affairs in order. And I came home and I said, Lord, is this really all there is to life? And I really felt him put his arm around me and say, this is just beginning. And one day I went down to the clinic there to pray, because I had always, prayed whenever I was there. And a girl came up and she was going in. They weren't doing abortions that day, but she was going in. And she said, she said she'd sit there and talk to me, and we went through everything, her problems and whatnot, and what God says he'll do for her. That Matthew 6:33 tells us that to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, and he will take care of everything in your life that you need. He promises, and he's never failed. And she chose life, and as she went off to the crisis pregnancy center I had sent her to, I just felt the Lord tell me to stay there on that wall. There's a little pony wall next to the place, and I just said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, take care of my family. And he's done it faithfully now for 3.5 years. Every month at the end of the month, I wonder, is this the month my house payment doesn't get made? But he's always faithful, always. He has been ever since that day.
And it sounds as if the adversity you faced brought what's important in life into focus for you, if that's a way to say it.
Yes, because I saw my own mortality, and I saw eternity, and I don't want to leave this world without having done everything I can for the one that died for me.
John Barros is our guest, and he is faithful to stand outside the Orlando Women's Center and witness to those coming in. And, as I watch the film, Who Will Stand, it's an interesting setup. It looks as though people park in the back, but then they have to walk around to a door in the front of the building, and you're able to stand on the sidewalk, which looks like it's, what, maybe 20 feet away from the door, maybe a little further, and just talk to them as they come around and have to walk inside the front of this building. The film depicts you sometimes standing with just a little plastic megaphone talking to the building, trying to reach people who are already inside.
Well, that's the most amazing thing. We try to get their attention as they're coming in, and I'm really hard on the guys because, the guys are pitiful to me, because our first duty as men is to protect our women and our children, and not to bring them to a place like that with a record like that. I mean, you wouldn't believe the record they have. But when they're all inside and it takes about a half hour for them to get all their paperwork filled out, I'll preach a sermon from that sidewalk, and they can hear every single word in there. And pretty much every day, 30 minutes after the sermon, as they've thought about what they've heard and the words, what God's word says, somebody's coming out with questions or whatever. And, pretty much every day it's been, in January, the first week of January, 7 girls chose life, 5 the next week, 4 the next. This last week we had 5. So, it's pretty much been, for 3.5 years, it's pretty much been between 20 and 30 girls choose life just from doing this. And it's not me. It's it's His word. I mean, it's they see where they stand before Him, you know, guilty, and then they can they see where they can stand before Him in victory. And
so, praise God. I mean, and you know, I think this facility does 400 procedures a month. Is that the right number?
Well, it was. It's a little down now, but it was. They were there was over 100 a week for forever.
Wow!
But the news, the sheriffs were down there recently and took everything outside. They confiscated everything from inside the building to try and sell for a girl that they were found guilty of destroying and fined $36 million. And he's not paying his fine, so they came down and took everything. But now he's got new stuff back in there, and the legal fights keep going on and on. And since he can't work there anymore, he's got an 80-year-old man by the name of Randall Whitney that does them, and he that guy's been drug out those doors twice in handcuffs for assaulting ladies while giving an abortion, and he's being sued in multiple malpractice suits right now. One girl, when I was there, almost bled to death when the ambulance took her away, and he had punctured her uterus, and she almost bled to death, and the family actually came back and was asking us to pray for their daughter and sister while she was in emergency surgery in the hospital around the corner. Well, that's just the kind of place it is.
Mm. John Barros is our guest, and in the next half hour, we'll open up the phones if you would like to give him a shout-out, a pat on the back, some encouragement for the extremely difficult work that he has taken on. Join us in the conversation at 800-811-3003. That's a toll-free call, 800-811-3003. We'll take a short break. And then when we come back, I want to ask you, John, about confronting the men and hear more about your heart for that. Stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
It's too beautiful of a day to come here.
Maybe you should be out witnessing the people who are lost.
Sir, I get to see about 30 girls a month change their mind. Why would I be going anywhere else?
This will be my fifth abortion. I'm very proud of it. I hate babies.
Here, come on. Take one of these.
Help, Satan.
Let us help you guys. Every person in here has a different story, and all of them is a lack of faith, period. Their eyes are not open. They cannot see their way through this, or the ones that can just don't want to. But every story is different, but the answer is all the same. The answer is all found in Jesus Christ, and that's what we're here for, is to try and lead them, point them to Jesus Christ, because there is no answer any other way. I just show up here and watch Him show off.
That's a clip from the movie Who Will Stand, and it features the ministry of John Barros, who is out evangelizing people who are going into and coming out of the Orlando Women's Center. And that was a montage of the way that some people have reacted with a very hard heart to what you've had to say. John, let's talk with you about how you respond, especially to the guys who come back with a flip answer or who just try to brush you off.
Well, the big problem, Kim, as you know, I'm sure, is that the vast majority of these guys are going to be gone, according to even Planned Parenthood statistics, within 2 months. And the relationships don't survive this. And most of those guys, are all they're worried about is having to live up to their responsibility as a husband or as a father, mostly. They see, you know, the child as a burden. And I try to let those girls know that they're alone. They really are alone. That guy that's rubbing their arm and it's got his arm around her shoulders, he's not going to be there. And they're going to be left with the nightmares of the girls that I meet, unfortunately, that come back and for checkups and cry all over my shirt, you know. And I mean, it's just awful of the results of what this does to it's nothing but misery and you know, there's the death of the baby, of course, but then the misery of what those girls go through. And I try to let them know that, and I'll call the guys cowards, because that's what they are, because I tell them all the record of this place, and then I'll tell them, try to tell them in front of the girls, that this guy would not bring his dog to a vet with this record, but this is how much he cares for you, that he would bring you. I try to get them to see that they are alone, and that you know, but that Jesus will never leave them alone. And that,
so,
you know, they need...
does this resonate with men? Do the men stop and say, wait a minute, let's go talk with him more? Because to me, that's more of a plowing up ground ministry. This is a new message to men, right? I mean, our culture tells them that this is chivalry. It's her decision, that the manly thing to do is to allow a woman to exercise her rights. Of course, we know that's nonsense. But if you're young enough and immature enough and morally confused enough, I think it puts a lot of young guys especially in a double bind there. Does it break through to them when you give them the truth and say this is a cowardly act?
It does. You know, again, if I see five girls a week come out, that means there was, you know, about 50 or 60 a week that at least that didn't. And you know, so that, but to some guys it does, it'll rock them. If you tell a guy that he's a coward, I mean, that really hits a guy to his core, really. And I've seen a lot of guys, especially, this might be hard to believe, but especially guys that are like in gang type guys, that it'll wake them up and say, yeah, you know, it'll I don't know what it does to a guy, but it does. It gets to them. If they go through with this, they still come out. They come out with their heads hung. I mean, they know that what they did was wrong. And but I've seen, I'll tell you what I've never seen, Kim. I've never yet seen a girl go through with an abortion at this clinic. I can't talk about everywhere, but at this clinic, if the guy she loves puts his arm around her and says, come on, we can do this. I've never seen it happen.
That she will say, wait a minute, I'm going to assert my rights. Right? It's not about...
Yeah, I've never seen that, because I
wow.
still believe that most girls don't want to. I really... I know people disagree with me, but I really... Even the ones that are hard and cursing at me and calling me everything, flashing me and all the stuff they do, so many of those ones will choose life before the day's out. But I really don't know that. I really think guys have a much larger influence on this whole thing than anybody wants to talk about.
800-811-3003 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. We do have a caring resource for you tonight. Our healing resource is a copy of Julie Ziegler-Norman's book, Growing Up Ziegler. And her story really resonates for those whose parents were very upright and active in the church and perhaps had a very high public profile, like Julie's famous dad, Zig Ziegler. But Julie, that didn't make her immune to problems, including, yes, abortion. And it's a very inspiring book. And we had so many just heavy response when we had Julie on as a guest, and I know you'd enjoy reading her story. So if you call tonight, we'll give you a copy of Growing Up Ziegler, Julie Ziegler Norman's book, at 800-811-3003. We'd love to get that in your hands tonight and give you a chance to speak with our guest, the inspiring Mr. John Barros, who is witnessing, evangelizing people going into and coming out of the Orlando Women's Center, which is doing late-term abortions as well as procedures throughout pregnancy. John, as we think about that, the fact that the late-term abortions are happening, here you're seeing women a few times, right? I mean, they start the procedure, then they leave and come back. Describe what goes on there.
Okay. They do abortions here where once it's over 12 weeks, they do their labor and delivery abortions. And they will give the girls a shot, and then they march around out in the back parking lot for up to 3 days while they're getting ready to, while they're trying to hasten the labor. And then they will bring them in, and they'll have them deliver the babies into a toilet that's half full of water. And in the court testimony of the big lawsuit that they had, Randall Whitney talks about the babies in the water and the toilet moving around, and you know, I mean, it's just horrendous. I really don't. I know that Herman Gosnell got put in jail for prison for snipping the necks of babies and stuff like that, but I really don't see the difference in that and then a baby drowning in a toilet.
John Barros, our guest, 800-811-3003. John, tell me about when you see a woman coming back who you know did not choose life, because that was one of the first things, and it really impressed me when I extended the invitation for you to be our guest, that you know that you understood that, that we have a focus on post-abortion healing. And it was the first thing that you said to me was the compassion that you have and that you do extend to those who have made that sinful choice. Talk about that. How do those conversations go?
Well, I've had so many. I mean, it's, you know, it haunts me, honestly, at night, because to see people, especially people that you've talked to, you know who they are, you've all this when they came, and then when they come back, you ask, how you doing, is the first thing I'll ask them, and they'll say, oh, I'm good, or something like that, and then I'll say, well, when you come back out, tell me how you're really doing. And they'll come over, and they'll ask questions like, is there any hope for me? Is there, you know, any, and I'll, of course, tell them that there is if they truly repent. If they're not just sorry that they did something, but if they're sorry that they offended God and truly repent of what they did, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and that includes abortion. That you got to submit your life to Him, and as your King, and live for Him. I mean, these aren't just flippant little terms that we're throwing around here. And you know, many will turn to Christ, and I'm thankful because I have a church that my pastor's famous. My pastor is R.C. Sproul, and our church just swallows these people up. We even have it's like a secret Bible. It's not secret, but it's for post-abortive women, a Bible study for them, and it's held somewhere where so everybody doesn't know who's had an abortion. You know,
confidential, sure, private.
Yeah, right. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right,
and
okay.
then there's a True Life Choices. Daria Monroe, she has a great ministry with post-abortive women, and she has like licensed psychologists and all of this that help. And so those girls, I can't get involved in their lives for obvious reasons, being a man alone, but I can sure take them to the places where they're going to be bathed in the Word, and they're going to get the help that they need that I certainly can't provide.
800-811-3003. We have a copy of Julie Ziegler-Norman's book, Growing Up Ziegler, a great encouragement if you have had an abortion. And we'll have a copy for those who call tonight, 800-811-3003. And just a quick program note as we go to break that Susie Larson will be joining us next week, and we'll talk about her book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And this is going to be a real encouragement to you, especially if you are at a point in your recovery, and it may not even be from the abortion issue. Maybe you're listening tonight because you have a heart for pro-life work and you don't have an abortion in your past, but we all have brokenness and we all have the need to find our beautiful purpose in life. And Susie helps us discern three distinct stages of seeing that dream come to fruition. And it's going to be a great conversation that you will not want to miss coming up next week on Cradle My Heart Radio. More tonight with our guest, John Barros, and a chance for you to win Julie Ziegler-Norman's book coming up.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
God uses John to change the hearts and minds of abortion-minded people, principally because of that perfect balance of calling sin sin and calling sinners to repentance and doing it out of genuine care and concern for the sinners.
Our guest tonight is John Barros, who is the subject of the short film, Who Will Stand? And as he mentioned, he attends church, which is led by R.C. Sproul, Jr., and Pastor Sproul makes an appearance in the film talking about John's ministry and about the heart that his church really has to rescue those who are perishing. He talks about the true religion that cares for widows and orphans, and I've heard Randy Alcorn talk about those who are on their way to be aborted as being orphans, fatherless. And the women effectively are widowed if we take it as a common law marriage, because as John has mentioned, if you're just joining us, the men are often gone after the abortion takes place. So John is there interceding, praying, of course, but also intervening and stepping forward and offering a true alternative. And that's what I love about your ministry. It's very much like the pregnancy help movement, which offers the real choice, John. I'm intrigued by the fact that you are also a chaplain with Good News and Jail and Prison Ministry, because my path into abortion healing and stepping out in ministry also had a parallel path with prison ministry. And I'm just, to me, there's a huge affinity there because of the bondage involved in both groups of people that need ministry. Talk a little bit about your work as a chaplain in the jails in Orlando.
Well, I have the greatest job there is there. I'm a chaplain and I get to go throughout the jail. This jail is very large. It's bigger than most prisons. It's it'll hold, I think, 4,800, but we've run in like, I think, 3,600 right now. And I have the authority to go into every pod in every cell in the place and share the gospel. And if people make professions of faith or if they're interested to learn more, we actually have a Christian dorm in the jail, and I can move them in there. And in there, they have 16 different speakers a week. They go through a Bible study program, intense one, and it's just a beautiful thing, really. I mean, it really is good.
John Barros, our guest, and our phones are open for you at 800-811-3003. Please join the conversation. It's a toll-free call at 800-811-3003. And I've heard from many listeners, Kim, I don't want to break away from the interview and stop and get on the phone. So that's okay. I understand that. But, you know, you can always leave us a voicemail message. If you have a question or a comment you'd like for us to address on a future broadcast, you can call toll-free 24/7 at 800-811-3003. Just be sure to mention that you'd like your question answered on the air if that's what you prefer, or if you're calling needing ministry and you prefer that your call not be on the air, mention that to us too. 800-811-3003. But tonight we're live at least for almost 10 minutes here and would love to give you a chance to talk with our guest, John Barros. 800-811-3003. I go back to Jasmine's story and the spiritual battle that she discerned. And, you know, from the outside, it looks like she just couldn't make up her mind. Like, we're just, you know, sometimes we're ambivalent about this. We're just indecisive. But she rightly said this was a spiritual battle. John, how do you help people break through that spiritual battle that's going on underneath every choice for abortion?
Well, I just try to... I try to cover it in, first of all, the most basic thing is just telling them that that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in high places, and they are all around that place. And there's no doubt that's where the final battle is being fought. And they know it, and they can feel it. If you have no idea how many people come out saying that they can feel presences inside there, and that they can't explain or they don't know what it is. And, you know, we'll get into that kind of thing. But so many of them are so blinded, you know, because 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to correct those that are in opposition. If perhaps God will grant them repentance and open their eyes that they might see the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will. And so I'll explain to them that the devil himself wants you to do this, and you're in a trap, and that, but that Jesus Christ has sent me down here to tell you that there is hope and there's help, and he will remove those scales from your eyes, that you will see this. And he does. And what, they do realize that. Now, a lot of the ones that God, of course, grants repentance, the others, you know, they don't. I don't know why. You know, they all get the same message. It's like Paul on Mars Hill. You know, he gave the message, but then there were some that stayed after and talked to him about it. It wasn't everybody.
I think that this is a fear that many of us have, especially post-abortive people who, you know, they feel as though it would be a re-wounding if you gave someone the truth and they walked past you and went ahead and did it anyway. And you mentioned about how sometimes you feel haunted by some of those encounters, John. How do you guard your heart in this ministry?
You know, that's the hardest thing. I mean, I have to have a certain amount of walls, but, you know, again, it all goes back to Jesus, because he, R.C. was preaching on Luke, you know, on Luke, when Jesus sent out the disciples in the power and authority of him. And I have to look at it when I'm down there, that I'm there under the power and authority of him, and it's him that's going to do his will. And, you know, I can't look at it as that I'm the one that's changing anybody's mind or not, or I would be in a nut house, because there's, you know, there is so much pain. If I was to look at a girl that had an abortion and thought somehow it was my fault because I didn't use the right words, or I didn't say the right thing, or I didn't pray enough, or I didn't do this enough, and, you know, it could make you very messed up. But I just have to look at it as God. When he says perhaps God will grant them repentance, I just have to look at it that it's his work, it's his doing, and that's the biggest thing that saves my heart. And the ones that do come back, and then literally tears all over my shirts, you know, God still uses that even to bring people to himself. When in Romans 8, when it tells us that all things work together for the good of those that are called according to his purposes, even our sin is used. It's not just the good things in life that he uses for our good. It's the sin in our life as well. I remember an awesome letter that John Knox had written, the guy that wrote Amazing Grace, on that issue about how God uses even our sin for our own good.
Amen. I can say with all guarantee that I would not be in ministry had I not had to come to terms with the grievous sin of abortion. And
yeah.
So God absolutely uses it, and he never despairs of us. And
no.
So I love what you have to say to give him the credit and the glory, because if you do that, then there's no need for us to despair.
Oh, it's all him. And, you know, I would like to say one thing to any ladies out there that have had abortions, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when it says that he made him who knew no sin sin, that we might be the righteousness of Christ, of God, that should be the most healing verse in the Bible for anybody's sin, including people who have had abortions, because Jesus bore that sin. And not only did he bear that sin, but he gave you his righteousness. So he takes all our sin and all our garbage and all the sewage of our past, and it was all placed on him. And then he turns around and gives us his righteousness. I mean, that is the heart of the gospel, and that is the heart of all healing.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:21, I know it well, and it was a cornerstone of my healing as well. And 2 Corinthians 7, where it says that godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow leads to death. I mean, there's so much richness for us in the scriptures, in the healing promises that God has given us. And John, I just want to commend you and thank you for the work that you do, sparing people from needing to grieve, needing to come to terms with this. And we have about 2 minutes left. If I could ask you, please, to just say a prayer for us, however God leads you. Please.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time. I thank you for this wonderful lady and this ministry that she's doing. I thank you that I've gotten to meet her, and I'm sure all the people that help her, and Lord, all the people that she and her team are helping. Father, I just thank you, and I ask that you would keep your hand of blessing upon her. And any of the ladies out there tonight that are wrestling with all the horrible things about that because they've had an abortion, Lord, that you would help them to see the reality of your forgiveness and your great love. But, Father, again, I'm so honored to be able to meet people like this. My sidewalk's just my sidewalk, and you've called me there. And to see all these people that are working in places I could sure never do and that are so gifted, Lord, I ask you continue to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I also pray for you, John, that God will continue to show you his grace and favor, and you'll have an overflow of grace and love in your life as a result. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
If you want to see the short film, Who Will Stand, just go to cradlemyheart.org, and you'll also find information about our upcoming programs, too. Find us on Facebook. Tweet with us on Twitter. We'd love to connect with you online and here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.